talk tonight. What's funny, though, is that this happens almost, it happens a lot, but today it happened in a very obvious way. Sometimes when I'm preparing like a message or thinking, okay, God, what's the thing that's on your heart that you want to talk about, that you want me to like, you know, dive into? And so today, one of the things I want to talk about, the main thing that I want to talk about is hope. I feel like that's something that God's been, it's been on his heart. And so just last week, I've been diving into that and going, okay, what does that look like in your word? What does that look like in our lives? What does that look like in the world around us? And I felt like I was doing pretty well, right? Like had this good week. I was like, cool. I'm hopeful. This is really good. And then I woke up this morning and I started scrolling through my Facebook. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard by now. Chris is shaking his head at me. I'm sure a lot of you have heard, if you've been on Facebook or watched the news, the stuff that has happened in Charlottesville, I believe is the name of the town. And if you haven't, I'm just going to sum it up for you real quick. There's a lot of hatred happening. There's a lot of racism present. There's a march that occurred that turned into lots of riots. It's just really, honestly, it's just really horrible, kind of detestable stuff that is happening in the hearts of people, essentially, because that's where it starts, right? It starts in the hearts of these people who are just angry and they're hateful, and they're really, really broken. And they act out of that, and it turns into racism, and it turns into just different prejudices of all kinds. But in this specific instance, it's racism, and one person is actually dead at this point. A state of emergency has been declared. So, you know, I had this moment this morning where, as I was processing all of that and reading articles and trying to process in my own emotions what was happening and trying to control my own anger, you know, because immediately that rises up in me. It's just this level of like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why is this is not okay, you know? And I just want to go to that place of real frustration, and it's very real, and we should be. It's injustice, and we should be reacting and responding to it. But it was so funny because in this moment that I'm sitting here, I have two tabs open on my Internet Explorer, and one is this like article about what's happening, and the other is like the message that I'm preparing for tonight. And I'm going, I do not have hope right now. I just don't have hope. I don't have hope for this country. I don't have hope for these people. You know, like I just was like, I'm just angry, and I'm processing this news article and this reality that people are facing, right? Like, and not just in that town. I'm talking about all over our country and all over the world, really. Like, and having to go, okay, I don't have hope for this. I'm really just angry. And then, like, click over to the other tab, and I'm preparing this message about how if we want to have influence, we need to have hope, and you know what God's word says about hope. And so it was just one of those really amazing moments where I had to step back and go, okay, Holy Spirit, like, I know that your word is truth. I'm going to align myself with your word and see where that takes me. And so I say that because I even call Albert at one point, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about hope anymore. Like, I just want to talk about how this is so wrong and, you know, what we need to do as Christians and all this stuff. And, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit kind of say, why isn't hope what you do, right? Why isn't hope a solution? Why doesn't hope feel like a solution? And it didn't in the moment, but it is. And I'm going to kind of go into that tonight. So, everyone good? I feel weird tonight, like if everyone's just kind of staring strangely. All right, maybe it's just me. It's just me. So, ordinarily... So, it's good. Everyone just turn around and face the back of the room. I'll just face this way. Okay, anyway, hope. Ordinarily, like when we say hope in our day-to-day language, right, like what we mean is we're not really expressing hope. We're not expressing biblical hope, I'll say that. We're expressing uncertainty. We are saying, I hope the traffic isn't insane because I really need to get to work on time. I don't know, why can't I think of another sentence? I hope you have a great day. Like, we're expressing this uncertainty of, like, this is what I want, but I really have no certainty that it will happen, that it will occur. So I can express a goal or a desire, but, like, the hope is more this, like, fingers crossed. I hope that that becomes a reality for you. So when I talk about hope tonight, that's not biblical hope. That's not what I'm going to be saying or how I'm going to be using it. Do you have a... Yeah, that's a good point. In our day-to-day language, what we mean is wish. Like, I wish that this is true. Which, that's always been an interesting word to me, right? Like, as a kid, did you ever wish upon a star? Okay, so I wished upon a star and then ended it with amen all the time. That was my thing. Like, I would be like, I wish I may, I wish I might. Da-da-da, and I'd make my wish, and they'd be like, amen. And I look back on that, and I'm like, I don't know what theology that fits in, but, you know, I know he heard it, so it's good. So that's always been an interesting word to me, is wish, because, yeah, it's almost this, like, powerless, like, it's a wish. It's like, but that's not biblical hope at all. So what I mean when I say hope tonight, when we talk about the hope of Christians, the hope that we have in Christ, is a much more confident hope. It is a, it's like a joyful anticipation of the good to come, not the possible good. Like, it is a joyful expectation of good. And so, Hebrews 11:1, right, Hall of Faith. I'm sorry, I hate that so much. Now, faith is the assurance, title, deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Yeah, I was going to read it again anyway. Cool. So this is the amplified version of Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance, title, deed, confirmation of things hoped for and divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical symptoms. It comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced. What was that? I don't know. But I love that. I love that it's this conviction of their reality, that we comprehend as fact what cannot be experienced with our physical senses. And like I said to you, I feel like I've been having this good week, right? Like, I've been hopeful. Most of you know that my aunt was recently diagnosed with lung cancer. She had her first round of chemo this past week. And so my family was just really praying. We were, like, checking on her regularly. And for me, I have, like, a personal bone to pick with cancer right now. It's been one of those things in my life that, like, it makes me angry. It's an injustice and a disease that doesn't belong in the kingdom of God, and I get really frustrated when it comes up. So that having been present in my life, this week especially when she started her first round of chemo, I was really standing in the place of hope and the full assurance of that hope being turned into faith. Right, that I was going, okay, like, God, I know what your kingdom says. I know what your kingdom is. I know what your word says. This is what it says. It's not your desire that my aunt should have cancer. It's not your desire that she should die. It was finished on the cross. Like, you won. The victory is yours, right? We sang tonight. Like, you have the victory. Nothing was left undone. And so I'm standing in this place, and I'm, like, declaring life over my aunt. I'm declaring healing over my aunt. And so all week long, I've really just been in this, like powerhouse place, right? Like, I've been like, you will not today, like, not my family, not today type of heart. And so then to get to, like, this morning and feel so, like, it was this moment where I was, like, faced with, oh, wait, like, there's still going to be areas and there's still moments where I'm totally failing at this. And what I thought about in that moment is that the reality is that even with spiritual principles like this, or things that we have full access to in the Spirit, right? Like, we have full access to the Holy Spirit. Like, he's, you know, his fullness is within us. And but some of that stuff still requires discipline, and it still requires practice. I was listening to a book this week. It's called Finding the Lost Art of Empathy. It's amazing. It's really, really good. It's by Tracy Wilde, and I was listening to it on Audible while I was working, and sorry, total train of thought derail. What was I talking about? Dang it. Oh, I love how helpful you guys are trying to be. Oh, practice. Okay, practice. We're there. So she talks about when she first started learning piano, right? And as a kid, her mom was like, I want you to sit in this room and take lessons. And it was the formal living room of her house, right? The piano is in the formal living room. And that formal living room was really only used for, like, Christmas and fancy dinners or, like, you know, important people. It wasn't, like, the comfort living room. It wasn't the... And so for her, just going into this room was enough for her to be like, oh, you know, her heart, like her disposition towards entering this room was like, I don't get to be me, right? Like, I don't get to be free. I don't get to, like, have fun. And so because the piano happened to be in that room, the idea for her was that it just couldn't be fun. It could not be, like, it's not a place where she could be free or that she could enjoy. So her piano teacher, around Christmas time, realized, and she, like, wouldn't even do, like, her homework and stuff. Like, she wouldn't even practice throughout the week. So her piano teacher around Christmas time, about in October, would give them their, like, Christmas carol book to start practicing their Christmas carols. And she noticed that at that time of the year, she practiced more. She loved Christmas. And, this, you know, as a little girl, she would sit down and want to play the Christmas music. And so her piano teacher noticed this and started giving her her book, her Christmas carols book, in June or July, way earlier than all the other students, because she knew that she was going to get the practice in. And it didn't matter that she was playing Christmas songs. What mattered that she was practicing. And that as she practiced the Christmas songs, she actually became better at playing the other songs, right? She could then open up a classical book, and it was really just the practice of playing that she needed to get down. And that spoke to me because I thought, how many times in our lives, things like, and for instance, a hope, having hope for things, it's easy when it's something we have seen done before, right? Like, I've seen God move in this area, so I have hope for it. It's easy when maybe it's a small thing. It's not that big of a thing, and so we have a little bit more faith for it. It's easier for me to believe that God will remove my headache than it is for me to believe that God will remove cancer, which is crazy, right? Like, you know, when you actually step back and go, like, no, that doesn't make sense. But it's true. We have, like, a different amount of faith for different things, right? Or a different amount of hope for a different thing. But the practice of it is what's really crucial. And what's really important. So even in the small things, even in the things that you've seen done before, we have to be constantly practicing hope, activating the hope in our lives that those things are coming to pass, that we do have authority. And as we practice that, the larger things become easier. And so even this afternoon, when I thought to myself, I've had such a good week. I'm like, I've had such a good week, like, you know, and it's not like I've had a good week because I feel like the enemy and my own heart and have come against me, you know. I have been at work, and there have been moments where, you know, I hear the whisper in my heart that says, well, what about this person who died of cancer a year and a half ago, and you loved them, and they prayed, and I feel that come up in me, and I have to actively go, I will not hold on to that. I will not hold that against God. he's processed my disappointment. Like he loves that person, and that person is now free, and they are now, you know, healed of that, of cancer, and just actively going, okay, I will not stay here in this place of disappointment. Like, I will not stay in this place of unbelief. I actively have to practice going, no, I have hope, because God is still God, and he doesn't change, and his character is still that this is not okay. Still, it doesn't matter. So anyway, so knowing, like, okay, I've had a good week. When I was faced with this moment this morning of, like, I'm not doing this very well right now, I was able to kind of remember, I've practiced this all week long. I have, like, disciplined myself and my heart, and I've caught my thoughts, and I've not allowed my emotions to have control, and so I'm not going to give them control right now. So even just that act of practicing was enough for me to, like, realize, oh, I have this muscle, and I can use it, right? Does that make sense? Cool. So practicing hope. What is that noise? Does anyone else hear that? Is that thunder? The latter rain, yeah. Actually, you know what's funny is there's a verse in Zechariah. I wasn't going to even talk about this, but I think it's like in Zechariah 10, where it says, pray for rain while the spring rains while the spring rains are happening. And I was reading this verse a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what in the world does this mean? Like, why would you pray for rain when it's already raining? Like, it's currently raining, and we're being told to pray for rain. And I felt like there was almost this kind of, like, spiritual principle that what that does is it aligns our hearts with what the Holy Spirit is doing in that moment, right? Like, in Scripture, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as, like, water, rain, floods, waterfalls, and oftentimes it's the opposite, too, like dry spaces, dry, like waterless pits, that kind of stuff. That language in Scripture is when he's not present or when the Holy Spirit's not there. And so I was thinking, like, when it's raining, the Holy Spirit is doing his thing in this moment. Like, this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. And when we pray into that, when we align, just simply by aligning our prayers with what he's already doing, we're partnering with him in that. And I love that. And I think that for me, it applies anyway, because for me, it's just that, it's that step of, I will have hope. I will pray, like, I will pray into what you're already doing, and I will see it come to pass because you're faithful, and it will increase my faith for the next mountain. So anyway, that was just a side note. Zechariah 9, 12. I'm just going to read this. Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, O prisoners of hope. Even today, I'm declaring that I will restore double to you. I love the language in this verse. And that's really one of the reasons I'm reading it, is because there's something about the way that that's worded, right? A prisoner of hope. What does that look like? Am I one of those? I mean, I want to be. And sometimes I think I am. But there are definitely moments that I'm not. But what does that look like? Like, the shackles, the prison, like, I think of a prisoner, right? Shackles on, ball and chain, locked up, right? Like, but by hope. So it's this reality of someone who goes, I cannot not confidently stand in who God is. Like, I know what the circumstances say. I know what everything has looked like. I know how bad it's been for me. I know how hard I've struggled. I know what everything looks like. But I'm a prisoner of hope. And so I will stand and I will say, there's breakthrough coming. Confidently, like, I will look at the circumstances and go, breakthrough is on the way. And I have no, you know, like, mathematically, logically, the circumstances themselves can proclaim that nothing is going to change. But we as Christians have this living hope, this faith that we get to increase, that we get to practice and use, and this authority that comes from being a co-heir with Christ. And we get to go, I don't care what all of that says. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what my own heart says. And that's important, guys. I don't care what my own heart and my own thoughts say. This will not change because my spirit gets to go, no, no, no. And I love Psalm 42 because it says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And oh my God, my soul is in despair within me, the burden more than I can bear. Therefore, I will fervently remember you. And so when it's our own heart, when it's our own thoughts that are going, there's just no way out of this. I am discouraged, and despair is like winning the day in our thought process and in our emotions. We get to go, hope in God and wait expectantly for him. I will praise him. And I love that it's a therefore. My soul is in despair. The burden is more than I can carry. I mean, this is real. Like, we feel this. We all feel this. We've been there. This is more than I can bear. And I don't see an answer and I don't see a solution. Therefore, I will fervently remember you. I will activate this thought process and that leads me to remember your faithfulness. That leads me to remember who you are, and that's what I'm going to focus on, and that's what I'm going to walk towards. It's hard. It's really hard. It's not, I'm not saying it's this like easy, simple, if you're a Christian, you just need to have some hope. Like, I'm not saying that. I know that it's difficult, but it's real, and it's our responsibility. I think I've quoted this before, but one of my favorite quotes is by Bill Johnson. You guys know who that is? Just kidding. He wrote a book that you're supposed to be reading. Okay, sorry. I have hope that she'll read it, you guys. No, I haven't. All right. Sorry, rabbit trail. Roommate rabbit trail. All right. God is good. I've heard really good things. Anyway, so one of my favorite quotes is by Bill Johnson, and he says, any circumstance in your life where you don't have hope is under the influence of a lie. It hurts. Every single time, it hurts. Any circumstance in your life where you don't have hope is under the influence of a lie. So there are circumstances, some of them are really big, and some of them are really small. And I was ashamed to admit that in my own life this week. I remember like going, okay, where do I not have hope? Because I want to address that. Where? What situation in my life am I just totally hopeless about? Some of them are embarrassingly small. And I was like, why don't I have hope for that? Like, I'm sure there's hope for that somewhere, you know, like in my closet. That was for those of you who were here last week. So anyway, I love that because I think that sometimes we give ourselves a pass. We make excuses for ourselves. And I do it too. We are all guilty. There are circumstances where because we look at the world and they get to be hopeless. And I say that because it's kind of our attitude sometimes, right? Like, they get to be discouraged. They get to be disappointed. And it's not that we don't get those things. We do. But we get to do that with God and with the Holy Spirit. And that he walks us then to another process, right? Like, he walks us through a different process because we get to partner with the truth. And we get to operate in a kingdom that is not of this world. But we look at the people who aren't going through that, and we go, like, I want to be. Sometimes we want to stay discouraged, if we're honest. Sometimes we want to stay in that place of disappointment. It is hard to let go of disappointment. It's hard to trust that Jesus understands how disappointed I am. It really is, and it still is, and it's a regular, a reoccurring thing. There are still moments where it's hard to believe that the Holy Spirit understands how disappointed I was when my friend Jenny died of cancer. And that's insane because I know, my spirit knows he loved her more than I do. He hated that she was going through. Like, my spirit knows that was not his desire for her. My spirit knows that he is, like, she's with him, dancing, worshiping, praising his character. But in these moments where my thoughts and my emotions rule, it's really difficult to go, I need to stop what's happening in my own head and in my own heart. That's super creepy. Alberto is like creeping in the dark shadows of this hallway. He came in the outside. Anyway. He came from the outside. No, it's not ridiculous. Yeah, it was like that Beauty and the Beast moment where the beast steps into the light. I think this is the second week in a row I've referenced that scene. Okay. I don't know where it was, but basically, you know, we sometimes want to stay in that place because it's more comfortable. It's easier in a lot of ways to just allow discouragement to be a friend. It's easier to allow depression to comfort us sometimes. But it's not the way of his kingdom, and it's not his best for us, and it's sin, frankly. when we're choosing to stay there and we're choosing to not submit ourselves to his heart, there's a way to do it that it's not sin. Amen. Like, thank you, Jesus. But a lot of times we don't do it that way. We want to handle it ourselves. We want to process through it ourselves. We want to be angry on our own terms. We want to be discouraged in our own way. And we don't give it to him. We don't submit it to him. And when that happens, I just looked down and saw the Bill Johnson quote. When that happens, we're believing a lie, right? We're agreeing with a lie, whether from our own selves, whether from the enemy, whether from an external source, a friend or a counselor, someone. We agree, we partner with a lie, and the lies can be all different, but they say that he's not enough. Right? Like, they say that God's not enough. They say that God was withholding, that he's holding out, that he's got better and he just didn't want to give it to you. And I hear that in my own life. None of us are alone in that, but it's a reality, right? Like, and so when we agree or we partner with that lie, and sometimes it's fear, right? Like, fear itself is not the sin, it's an emotion, right? Like, fear is, when I say that fear is, I sometimes worry about that. Sometimes I speak against fear so much. I'm like, that's fear. It's not the fear that's wrong. It's when we agree with that and we bring our circumstances into alignment with that fear, right? Like, fear keeps me from touching a hot stove. Like, there's a self... but even as little children, like, we learn because there's a self-preservation in, like, fear. I don't want to be hit by a car. That thing looks big and going fast. I'm not going to run out into the road. There's like a fear that's just an emotion, and it keeps us safe and it's good and it's necessary. But that fear gets out of control in our lives. And when we agree and we give our thoughts and our attitudes and our emotions over to that fear, and that's why, I mean, I've talked about this before too. I used to have a friend who said, prepare for the worst and hope for the best, right? And that's such a load of crap. It's such a load of crap because for me, I think it's a load of crap in general, but for me, I wasn't able to get to hope because my emotions and my thoughts and everything would come into alignment with the expect the worst or prepare for the worst. So when I'm preparing for the worst, I would go, well, what's the worst that could happen? Right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? I lose my job. What's the worst that could happen? Somebody dies. What's the worst that could happen? You know, and sometimes it's really awful. Like, sometimes the worst is really bad. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? And then I'm like... oh no, you know, like the worst starts to play and you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we prepare, and then we can't get past that because in that preparation moment, we agree with on some, maybe it's a lie, maybe it's a feeling, maybe it's a thought, but if we can't get past that, what's the point, right? Like, then you just, like, totally screw yourself. Like, are we recording? My bad. I don't know. I don't know who listens. What? That's true. So one of the offsprings, I guess, of fear becomes hopelessness, right? Like when we get stuck in that fear of like, it's the worst case, this is what could happen. And sometimes even when we try to move on, like it's going to come back and it's going to like rise up in us and go, well, but this could happen. Well, but what if? Guys, that is a terrible game. Do not play the what if game. Yeah. Yeah.
But being homeless is not a disrespectful thing.
No, definitely not. That's right. Yeah, and with whatever you have, God can partner with you. Yeah. So I'm going to read Romans 5. Romans 5, 2 through 5. Through him, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope, the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Let us rejoice in our hope, the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. And not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardship, distress, or pressure produces patient endurance, and endurance, spiritual maturity, or proven character, and proven character, hope, and confident assurance of salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoint us because his love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts and through the Holy Spirit who's given it to us. Guys, I would encourage you to go and read that verse over and over and over again. Honestly, like read it out loud. What? Yes, I'm sorry. Romans 5, and it's verses 2 through 5. I wrote 15, but that's wrong. 2 through 5. Go and read this verse. And this is the Amplified version, and it's really good, really good. But read whatever version, because it doesn't matter. Because the truth is the same. And speak it out, like read it over yourself, over your own heart. I'm telling you, like there's something so valuable about when we do that, when we speak the truth and our hearts come into alignment. And as I was reading that this afternoon, especially that line, to let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God and the manifestation of his excellence and power. That's where hope is. That's where we get to stand securely and firmly and safely. That's where we get to stay in this place of like, no, I know who he is. I know his heart and I know who I am. And when we stay there as sons and daughters, when we activate and practice our hope and our faith, that hope becomes like fully assured and we're confident and it becomes faith and we begin to pray prayers that maybe we used to be afraid of praying. guys, there are some prayers that currently I can think to myself, I'm probably afraid of praying that. I do it anyway most of the time because it's what we're supposed to do. But there are moments where when my hope is fully assured, when I'm confidently and securely standing in who he is and who I am, that faith is there. You guys, have you ever felt that? Like, you're just like, I have faith for this. Like, I will stand in this position and pray, and I know I can expect it. Have you ever felt that faith? If you haven't, you're going to get there. You're going to get there, and I want you to go to this verse and pray it over and over again and practice what it is to be hopeful and for that hope to come into full assurance and become faith for things that we have not seen, but that are the reality, right? The reality that faith comprehends as fact but cannot be experienced. Basically, I'm overwhelmed because as I watched the news and as I processed what was happening this morning, and as I thought just about the reality of racism in our country and in our town, honestly, I realized the world is desperate, so, so desperately waiting for sons and daughters of Christ who have hope and who have faith to turn the world upside down, to actually do things, to activate them, their own faith and their own love for people in a way that the church isn't walking out right now. They are waiting for people who are doing more than sending good vibes. I mean, I really, and I love the heart of people who say things like that, right? Because even though they don't believe, like, there's a love there, there's an affection that comes from people who are saying good vibes. And my aunt actually is not, she's not a believer, and so a lot of her friends aren't. And we've, you know, as I've been praying with her and as we talk about it, I notice her friends say that a lot. And they're wonderful people. Like, they're so sweet, and they love her so much. And you can feel that, right? Just in the way that they talk to her and the way that they're giving to her and they're taking care of her. It's an amazing community. But when they say good vibes, there's always this thing in me that's like, I'm just going to take that, and I'm going to turn it into this authority of faith. You know, like, I'm going to go, I know what they mean, and I know that their heart's desire is the same as you and me, Holy Spirit. And I get to stand with you and partner with you and have an authority and a hope that they don't necessarily have. Their hope and their good vibes are expressing that uncertainty. Oh, and I don't have to. So, and I think that that's true, not just in my circumstance, it's true across the board in all of our circumstances. It's true in our nation. It's true when I look at the riots and when issues feel too big, right? When issues feel larger than I can possibly handle or have empathy for, even, you know, the book that I was reading this week, it talks about like empathy fatigue and how sometimes issues or problems can feel so large. The reality is that a person is more likely to give and help when they're presented with one person. That's why things like the Compassion Project and World Vision and stuff like that, they do like the one child thing, because when you experience one person, you have a greater capacity for empathy for that person. You connect with them, there's a connection made, where when it becomes two, the giving decreases drastically. And as that gets larger, when we hear on the news about a riot and we think of the people, or when we hear about a car accident that kills seven, or the number increases, whatever the situation is, the number increases, there's almost a detachment in the way that we respond, because problems feel too big for us to respond to. They feel too large, too painful for us to properly address. But as Christians, they're not. They're not. And that's so important to me. That's so important to me, and it's important for you guys to understand. You are not powerless. When you look at the problems in your life, whether it's personal or on a like community-wide scale, or whether it's in our nation or globally, you are not powerless. And it doesn't mean that you have to fix it all at once, and it doesn't mean that you have to have the faith for everything to change overnight, but it means you get to partner with God in taking the steps and in properly responding because you know his heart, and you've been given insight, and you've been given authority because Jesus made that way. So that's really all I have for tonight, but what I want to do really briefly is Alicia is going to come up and play a song. She's going to play another worship song, and I just really felt like this is a good moment to pray with one another. If there is anything in your life, or even if it's not personal, if it's something that you just have trouble believing for, you have trouble hoping for, if there's a hopeless circumstance in your mind or in your heart, I'm going to have, I'm going to have Rachel and Jason come up, and we'll be up here to pray with you. There's power in agreement too sometimes. So if there is a situation that feels hopeless, sometimes it's necessary to have a brother or a sister come alongside you and go, I know how you feel. I'm going to stand here with you and declare that there is hope and that there is power and that there is faith. So don't feel like I'm requiring that of you, but that's kind of the point of partnering with you in prayer, is going, hey, we're gonna hold your arms up in this moment, like when you're tired or when you don't have hope. We want to encourage the heart of that situation and go, no, but God could do it, and he has the authority and the power. So we're just gonna sing this song together, and then probably in about 5 to 10 minutes I'll just pray us out.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all.